Have your Bibles this morning. Every so often, our society is drifting in the wrong direction. And I use drifting loosely. I think it is flying in the wrong direction. Our doctrine are the teachings of God's Word are not being believed. The doctrines are being washed away, even in churches. They're being replaced with the thoughts of man. And I remember talking to people from time to time about this subject, the subject of hell. And you probably won't hear that preached any one of the 860 churches in Northern Virginia area today. It's not a pleasant subject. But I want you to take a look at it this morning from a little different angle. Number one, I want you to see that it is horrible. It's a horrible place. If you have your Bible, notice in Matthew chapter 10, we read it. Brother Scott read it. It said, "Fear not them which kill the body, which are not able to kill the soul." Now, no one in this room is able to do anything but kill our bodies. You could be murdered, but no one in this room can affect the soul. The only person that can affect the soul are the individuals sitting in this room. Individually, you're responsible to the God of heaven yourself. So you'll notice he says, "But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." That's only the God of heaven. Now, I want you to notice, number one, that hell is a real place. Many people, more today, people would say it's not than it is. It's a real place. The Bible says in Luke chapter 16, "And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, the rich man. He died and went to hell." Today, when someone passes away, they either go to heaven or they go to the place called hell, which in reality is a temporary place. And let me say that. Now, listen very carefully. Don't turn off your TV or your iPad or your thoughts today. It's temporary only because at the great white throne judgment, hell is empty and taken before the throne of God, the great white throne. And Revelation 20, verse number 11 says, "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And death and hell were emptied and brought before the heaven of the God of heaven." And that's the day of sentencing. Hell is a place of holding right now. It's like a jail cell. But the lake of fire is prison. Same place. One, you get out for sentencing. The other, you never get out. It's permanent. Everything's the same about it. Same place, same punishment. Everything's the same. Same place, same punishment, same prevention. Now, the only problem is with the lake of fire, there is no prevention. It's forever. I don't think any of us in this room, if we could get a perspective of what God has built for Satan because Satan rebelled, none of us would ever be the same. If this morning I could take all of us in this room, we can go to heaven, and God himself could say, "I brought you to heaven for a specific purpose. I want to show you a 3-second glimpse of hell, what I made for Satan." Now, I want you to understand, it's a real place. And God could allow us in heaven to peek over the gates of heaven and see directly into hell. And if I were to ask you, have you ever sat down and thought much about it? Number one, that it is real. It is a real place, just like Herndon, Virginia is. There's a place that's called hell. Did you know Jesus spoke more about the place called hell than he did about heaven? He said it'd be better for you. Now this gives you the indication of how horrible it is. It would be better for you to pluck out your eye if your eye causes you to see things that prevent you from asking Jesus to save you. He said it'd be better for you to take an axe and just cut off your wrist or your arm if the things you do with your hands prevent you from getting on your knees and say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. Would you save me? He even said it'd be better for you to cut off your foot. You yourself. I remember hearing a story about a steer that got hung up in a cave and somehow he got caught and he couldn't get away and he felt like he realized he was going to die. So he took his pocket knife out of his arm and cut off his own arm because he was going to die. He didn't get the arm back, but he saved his life. I can't imagine how that could happen. But I guess when you face the prospect of imminent death versus the prospect of life, you could do many things. And so if I could get everyone in this room, and Jesus said it himself, if I can get you to see the prospect of hell, you would be glad to pluck out an eye to say, I don't want to go there. I want you to just take note. Not only it's a place, but I want you to see the punishments that are in hell. But I want you to see who they're for. Take your Bible and turn to Matthew 25:41. Matthew 25:41. Notice with me, if you would. And I want to debunk a common theory. If you have your Bible, Matthew 25:41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand. He's giving a story now of the future. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now you got to understand this today. Hell was not made for anybody in this room. It's a real place. There's real punishment in it. You'll notice in this passage, one of the punishments is that it is everlasting fire. Never goes out. Somehow God has made a place with everlasting fire and a place that's totally dark. We're going to get to that in a minute. But I want you to understand that every person that is born in this world deserves to go to hell. But God says, I don't want you to go there. Satan is there. I have placed him there. And all the demons that tried to overthrow heaven, a third of the angels, they were cast into this place called hell. Now, understand this. It is a place that they don't want to be. The idea that the old devil walks around with a pitchfork and controls hell is absolutely a lie of the world. Revelation chapter 20. Take your Bible and turn there. Revelation chapter 20. Notice with me, if you would, keep in mind, if hell is prepared for the devil and his angels as a place of torment, then it's not going to be a pleasant place. So notice, if you would, Revelation 20 and verse number 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit. Now, hell has a key to it. It is a key to open it and to close it. It will be one day closed forever. So notice, if you would, having the key of the bottomless pit. And notice, if you would, there are not two keys. There's only one. Now, how many of you have, let's see, how many of you have multiple keys for your vehicles? Let me see your hand. And one of the reasons is why. So when you misplace one, you got another one. Okay? The Lord Jesus misplaces nothing. So he knows where the key is. And he gives it to an angel, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Now notice, if you would, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is Satan, which is the devil and Satan. Now the reason he went to such great extremes is to let you and I know that Satan, even though he has a lot of aliases, God knows exactly who he is. And you and I should too. It's the serpent in the Garden of Eden. It is the dragon. It is the devil. It is Satan. He's going to take that fallen angel, the old devil, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. Now, you know what Satan is doing right now? He is trying to deceive the nations. He is trying to deceive individuals by telling us that the Bible is not true, by telling you that there is no hell. And he's trying to get you and I to buy into life in this world is all there is. So that when we are cast into hell by the great God of heaven because we rejected his son, Jesus Christ, then we have no alternative but to do that because we don't believe the truth. And so I want you to understand, God did not make hell for one person in this room. Nobody. He made it for one group. The angels that fell from heaven. Satan and the angels that followed him. That's the only reason for hell in the beginning. God did not plan for Adam and Eve to rebel against him. You know, he gave them a test in the garden. I'm going to put one tree in the garden. Don't eat of that tree. And I think at that point in time, if Adam would have said, no, I'm not going to eat of that tree, and he would not have, the day he came and had a choice, that fruit. Now, people say it's an apple tree. You don't know what it was. But that fruit that's there. I don't know, Lord, I'm not going to eat of this. I'd rather have you. And he throws it away. That day, in every one of our hearts, would have been perfection for all eternity. But because Adam said, okay, that looks pretty good. You're right. And Satan is standing there saying on his tail, hey, it's okay. God knows you eat of that and you'll be like God. And he said, really? Okay, I like that. And he bit out of the apple or the orange or whatever it was. And then all of a sudden he fell into sin because he disobeyed the Lord. That's exactly what the angels in heaven did. The old devil did that. I'd like to be like God. Why does he get to be on the throne and not me? And he started spreading the word around. That's the reason God hates tale-bearing. That's the reason he hates gossip. It's because that's what Satan started in heaven, and it cost him a third of the angels. And they were all cast out. And heaven was purified. And he made a place for the old devil called hell. And Satan is not there today. He is on earth today. He is in heaven today. He is accusing every one of us in this room. If you have your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Notice with me, if you would, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Now, that's the heavens. That's not the heaven of heaven. And his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Verse 8. This is Revelation 12, 9. And the devil and the great dragon was cast out. Out of where? Look at verse 8. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. So at some point in time, they're in heaven, they're at the throne of God, accusing you and I. Now you need to read the next phrase. Do you see what he's actually doing there? Notice with me, if you would, verse number 10. Yes. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. That's what the old devil is doing for us. He's accusing everybody in this room in heaven right now that's saved. He wants you to look bad before God. He wants you to fail in your Christian life. He wants you to represent God terribly so that more people die and go to hell. He is the kind of typical person that says, if I'm going to be miserable, I want everybody to be miserable with me. That's why he wants everybody to go to hell. And he can look at God and say, I guess they didn't love you. I guess they didn't love your son. Or even care enough to trust him as their Savior. They deserve to be with me. So there's a battle going on in heaven and in earth, and it's for the souls of men. Now, understand, God made the old place called hell a place of horror. Take your Bible and turn to Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. Notice, if you would, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given, here it is again, the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. So we find out a few things about hell. Number one, it has a key, one key. Number two, that key is controlled by the God of heaven. Number three, the only people that can use it are who he says can. And number four, it is a bottomless pit. You're always falling. Now, how many of you like roller coasters? Let me see your hand. How many of you don't? About equal, 50-50, okay? How many of you like the one where, you know, you get in your car and all of a sudden it starts up the roller coaster and you hear that click? click, 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 click. You know what I'm talking about? You're starting up and you get up to the top and it sort of smooths out and just gets real quiet. Then all of a sudden it goes, whew. How many know what I mean? Okay. And they try to make that drop as far as they can. You know why? So you can have fun feeling terrible. Well, my wife would not ride those things. I remember one time the youth group got together and offered her $10 to ride it. By the time they finally stopped, it was at $500 and she wouldn't get on it. I said, I'll go jump off of it for $500. She said, oh, no, I'm not getting on that. So we would ride. I'll never forget the last time she rode on a roller coaster. It was with me and the kids were there. I was a youth pastor. And we had a bunch of kids with us. I don't know how many of them, but they all were wanting us to ride on this ride. So we got on it. It was in Six Flags Over Texas. Got up, went up. Sure enough, it goes and does that very thing. And I'll never forget when my stomach came right between my eyes. And I was trying to make sure I didn't get sick. And Susan was screaming. And she had her fingernails in my arm. And I was starting to scream, but I didn't feel that was good for a husband. And so we're going down and she squeezed my arm. And I mean, tell you, and she screamed. The ride was 58 seconds, I think it was. I timed it. And she screamed for 56 of them because she didn't start till we went down. I said, oh, my goodness. I never want to get on that again. Can you imagine falling forever? No hard surface. Horrible. A furnace. A flame of fire. But not only that, if you and I were to look into hell, we'd have to have X-ray vision or vision, night vision, to be able to see anybody. All you can hear are the screams and the horrors of hell, and yet you can't see anybody, but there's people touching you. You don't know what's going on, and you're falling, and you're sick at your stomach, and you're hot, and you're miserable, and can you imagine that? Forever? That's what God planned for the old devil. But not for you. Not for one person in this room. Prepared for the devil and his angels. But not for you. But God has no place else for sinners to go if they say, I don't want your son to pay for my debt. I'll pay for it myself. It's a choice everyone in this room has to make. It's a horrible place. The Bible says in Luke 16, and in hell is with eyes being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy. Send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. He asked for a drop of water, not for a glass, a drop. And he said, in verse 25, son, remember, when thou in this life, you remember you had good times. And so we're going to be, I think probably the worst part of hell is the memory part. It's seeing a service like this and knowing you're not saved. Knowing you've never asked Jesus to come in your heart and save you. But fearful that somebody might laugh when the invitation is given. Or fearful that I don't want to embarrass myself. I mean, that thought hit me when the day I got saved. Because I was like the president of the youth group at 14. I was lost. But I knew it. But the thought hit me, I don't want to go to hell for anybody to look good in anybody's eyes. I want to be with the Lord forever. I want to be forgiven. Can you imagine sitting in service? And I remember the service that I was in. I thank the Lord this morning. I thank the Lord every day that somehow he let me step out. I was sitting right there where Tim or Brother Don was, or Brother Richard was, and I was sitting in the service and the invitation was given. And we went through all the different songs and the preacher said this. He said, you know, I just feel like there's somebody else that needs to trust Christ as Savior. We're going to sing one more verse. And he didn't know it. But I had been telling the Lord, Lord, if they sing one more verse, I'll go. And they did. Lord, if they sing another verse. And they did. And finally, it was like the Lord said, you're not being truthful with me. And I said, Lord, if there's one more verse, I promise you I'll step out. And the preacher said, you know, I feel like there's somebody here. And he did that from time to time. He said, I want You have one more chance to trust Christ as Savior. Let's sing one more verse. And he turned to our brother Brandon and said, let's sing one more verse. And they started singing. I stepped right out. If I wouldn't have, I wouldn't be here today. Maybe I'm in prison. I got teenagers in prison for life in my youth groups because they wouldn't listen. You know, when you reject the Lord, something happens to your heart sometimes. Now, maybe you can reject it one or two times, three times. How many of you got saved the first time you heard the gospel? Let me see your hand. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. How many of you, it took a lot of times? Let me see your hands. How many of you, you're almost ashamed how many times it took? Let me see your hand. Okay? What happens if you said a no one last time and died and went to hell? And you had remembered this service, your last chance. Oh, why did I say no? Why did I? Why? What was wrong with me? Why didn't I trust Christ? Why didn't I go forward? Lord, I'm sorry. Why? For all eternity. Anybody here ever miss a great investment? How many of you missed a great investment? Let's see your hand. Okay, I remember my mother, she used to work for the Bell Phone Company. She was an operator. And they gave her a chance to get stock in AT&T Bell Phone Company 60 years ago. Many times she looked at me and she said, son, why did I not take that stock? I said, Mom, I don't know either. I wish you'd have taken that stock. She said, son, one of my regrets, I didn't take that stock. But you know what? One step inside heaven, she forgets all about it. She's not worried about it today. She's enjoying heaven. But oh, if you say no to Jesus Christ, you could have the memory of that no for all eternity. The Lord looked at the rich man and said, son, remember. So we have a perfect memory. You know, one of the things I'm grateful of is in surgery, they give you the something, the gas or the pill. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, you're going into surgery, they give you a shot or put it in the IV. And I remember one time they told me, they said, you count backwards from 100. And I said, I'm going to be the first guy to make it to one. And so at 199, I'm out at 98. Don't remember anything else. But I woke up and all the surgery was done. My leg was fixed. I had a football accident and broke up my leg and tore out the ligaments. And they put screws in it and put it back together. And I remember waking up and I said, it is over. And they said, yeah, I remember it hurt. But then they gave me some pain. I said, wow, that was cool. What did you do? Had a screw that long through my ankle? I mean, I got a scar that long. I said, wow, y'all did a lot of work. But I didn't know anything about it. Thank the Lord. Aren't you glad when memory is erased? Can you imagine never being able to erase your memory from the greatest mistake of your life? Well, the prevention for hell is one thing. It's a person. Everyone in this room, you have to come to Jesus Christ personally. It's not at this church. It's a personal decision that you have to come to Christ. And you have to come to Him and say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell. I'm not proud of my sin. But you forgive me and come into my heart and save me. The thief on the cross. He's a murderer. He's a thief. He's hanging beside Jesus Christ. He's receiving capital punishment. And he's about 30 minutes from hell. And he looks at the Lord Jesus and he says, he'd already told the other thief, he said, leave him alone. This man is the Son of God. He looks over to Jesus Christ. He says, Lord, did you remember me when you come into your kingdom? He didn't even know how to pray. That's the lousiest sinner's prayer I've ever heard. But God read the heart. And he could tell he wanted his sins forgiven and wanted to be bought out. And he said, would you remember me when you go into the paradise? He didn't think he was worthy to get to paradise. I want to tell you something. Brandon's not worthy to get to heaven either. Neither is Eddie. Neither is Rick. Neither am I. Nobody is worthy. But Jesus Christ, by his grace, is willing to give it to everybody. That's why I became a preacher. Hey, what better job in all the world is there to tell people how to get to heaven? How to miss hell. I know it's there. It's a real place. It's got real punishment. But there's a real prevention. And everybody can have it. Now, let me ask you this question. How should you live? If you've received the gift of eternal life. And you'll never go to hell. You never have to worry about hell. The day I got saved 51 years ago. I was thanking the Lord again this morning. I woke up and said, Lord, thank you. For the gift of eternal life. Thank you for saving me. I don't have to. I've not put my head on my pillow one night in 51 years and worried about hell. Not one thought. Because Jesus promised. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? From the place called hell. Given a home in heaven. Wow. What a wonderful thought. Only the God of heaven could think of that. So let me just read to you just a thought here real quick. Now listen to this. Listen to this. Could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made? Were every stock on earth a quill? And every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. You know what? He figured out he missed hell and heaven was his eternal home. He said, I wished I could write about it so everybody could see it. But you know what God did not do? He did not write it on a scroll throughout the sky. You know, from time to time you see in a ball game, I've been at a ball game before where a plane flew over and it's got a message behind it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You ever seen those? I remember one time I see one flying over and it says, Mary, will you marry me? I said, well, that's a creative way. I would imagine there's about 16 guys in there punching him. Hey, the girl, I'll take advantage of that, guys. I'm putting it up there. And you look over and say, hey, look at that sign. She says, you know what God chose to do? He chose to save you and me and ask the question, will you represent me? Will you live right for me? Will you live clean? Will you cause people to think that there is a God in heaven that can change lives. And I want what you've got. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. You know what an ambassador is? A representative of a foreign country. You know where our country is? Heaven. Everybody that's saved in this room is an ambassador for heaven. The question is, are you representing Jesus with light or darkness? It is a choice. But I want you to understand this today. You are the only key to hell that anybody in this world can see. It's you or me or nothing. Now, God said I could have made the stones cry out, but he didn't. I'm going to let you cry out. One of our members, never know who it was, gotten in trouble, had before they were one of our members, was placed in jail. As they were in jail, they got things right. Started reading their Bible and started growing in grace. And how many of you remember the Starbucks murders in D.C.? Three people were killed in Starbucks several years ago. How many of you remember those murders? Well, one of those guys that was accused, got put in his cell. He got his life straightened out. He was reading his Bible. And he could share the gospel with that young man. The young man got bail and was let out. And the next day, he was beaten to death. Now, why do you think God allowed those to be in the same cell with his book? He was the key to heaven. You are the key to heaven to somebody. I want you to know this. He saved you to give you peace. He wants you to live with joy of heart. Hey, why would I not have joy? I missed hell. I don't ever have to worry about it. I'm heaven bound. Why would that not make us the happiest people on earth? Why would we get our eyes stuck on the things we don't have, the money we need, or this house, or that car? We miss hell. We've got heaven forever. There ought to be a joy in our heart beyond the description of man. Folks, today, do you have the joy of the Lord in your heart? Do you have the peace in your heart? It's a peace that passes all understanding. You cannot comprehend it because you don't deserve heaven, but you've been given it. Oh, how should you treat your mate now? I missed it. I'm going to heaven. How should you treat your neighbor now? I'm going to see him. I'm going to give an account of how I represented him. Today, I think about that Starbucks accused murderer. Even God loved him, gave him one last chance. You might be somebody's last chance this week. Look, if you've trusted Christ as Savior, you can forget about hell. But don't forget about it to the point where you don't realize God needs you to prevent other people from going there. We have a new life to live. Hey, if you have children, you have a new life to live. You can teach them the wonders of Christ, the glories of His grace. That's the good thing. You know how many times I preach on hell? Once every year or two, because I don't want you to forget about it, but I sure don't want to dwell on it. I want to dwell on heaven. I want to dwell on Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you, Jesus dwelled on it in His earthly ministry. He said, hey, watch your hands and your feet and your eyes. And hey, and hell is a real place. And I made it for the old devil and it's not for you. And it went on and on and on and on. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Nothing. So watch the way you build your life. There's one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The other way is to hell. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting. Jesus pled with people. Don't miss heaven. Today, you're the key on earth. There's only one key in heaven. It opens it up. And one of these days, He's going to throw everybody, whosoever was not found written in the book of life, was cast in the lake of fire, and it's locked forever. That's why I pray for your unsaved loved ones and for mine. That's why a witness carried tracts. Not because I'm a preacher. It's got nothing to do with it. I want to carry tracts when I was a plumber. You know why? Because I knew there was real hell. Now, I know there's a real cure. And I want everybody in this room to have it. It's free. Jesus paid for it. But when you walk out of here, you're the key. Can people see Jesus in you? Let's pray. Ask the Lord to speak to our hearts this morning. Oh, the love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forever endure. The saints and the angels' songs. Lord, thank you for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for not making hell my eternal home. It is by the grace of God and the gift of eternal life. We're going to have a word of prayer in just a moment. Maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, I don't know. If I died this morning, I'd go to heaven. Well, why don't you do what I did? Why don't you come to the front and get it settled? There's nothing in this world worth dying and going to hell. And I read it this morning and underlined it in my Bible. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Nobody's promised tomorrow. A heart attack. A car accident. You just don't know. But you know this. You got one shot this morning. And heaven can be yours. Maybe you're here today. How many of you have got an unsaved loved ones that you'd like to see saved? Would you raise your hand all over? Raise your hand. Let me ask this question. I know one thing. You're one of the keys. How are you living today? How are you? How's your ambassadorship going? That's the reason we're sweet to our enemies and forgiving to everybody on earth that does something wrong to us. That's the reason. Heaven's our eternal home. You represent the King of Kings. You represent the sweetness and the grace of God. You can't be bitter. You can't hold a grudge. Look, let's put it all on the line. Let's represent Him well. Let's keep people out of hell. Lord Jesus, You see our hearts today. Lord, those that are here today that don't know they're on the way to heaven, would You give them the courage to step out and come so they could get it all settled for all eternity? Lord, if they're just unsure, help them to get it settled. Father, if they know they've never trusted You as Savior, help them to come. Lord, I was a church member, but I knew I was lost. Would You give them the same strength You gave me? Lord, would you save them by the same grace that You saved me? And Lord, here today, those that are saved, they know it. But oh, they've gone the wrong direction for a little time or a long time. Would You give them the courage to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I went back in Your good graces. I want to represent You well. One of the saddest things in the world would be to send somebody to hell because of your own life and the way you lived. Because they look at you and followed. Or they looked at you and me and said, if that's a Christian, I don't want any part of it. Lord, speak to our hearts today. Help us to be convicted enough to represent You well. Enough to pray for sinners. Enough to pass out tracts. Enough to be sweet in a dark world. In Your precious name we pray. Amen.